Lieutenant General Jack Klimp, U.S. Marine Corps, retired as president and CEO of the National Association for Uniformed Services and reviewing the recommendations of the Military Compensation Commission. General, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. As you look over this, what are your main takeaways? What are the things that worry you, and what are the things that maybe hearten you? Thanks for joining me, sir.
Well, my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity, Francis. I think, you know, there are a number of things in the report that that we're very comfortable with and that we could support. One is the grandfathering of all the recommendations that they've made regarding that the committee has made or the commission has made regarding those who are currently retired or who are on active duty and will retire. So our understanding of the report and their studies is that they're recommending that those who are currently retired and are on active duty would retain their current retirement benefit program. So we're very supportive of that. I think there's another issue regarding those who are on active duty who leave prior to the 20-year point, which is a normal retirement, and the government paying into the thrift savings plan some percentage to provide them with a dividend or a bonus or a benefit when they depart the service if they leave prior to the 20-year point. We support that. We think that's a good idea. What most people don't understand is that there is a 401k kind of plan already in existence. It's called a thrift savings plan, and the problem with it is the usage rate is only about 40%. So there are a number of things in the plan that we could easily support, and in fact, we think those individuals who have done 1, 2, 3 tours in Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere else in the world who leave the service before the 20-year point ought to walk away with something in the way of a retirement benefit.
The TSP issue is interesting to me, too, because I spoke actually to the Director of External Affairs from the TSP on the program this week, and she said that based on their experience at introducing the Roth TSP option, it's been, I guess, a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer, that adding a match for military members and the other options that are involved there wouldn't really be a heavy lift for them. So it sounds like, from their perspective at least, it would be something that once they got the okay to do it, they could move on pretty quickly.
And it sounds like it. Our concern would be that they not pay for that, if you will, on the backs of those who stick around for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding right now of the recommendations coming out of the commission is that they would, in essence, pay for the government's investment in the TSP program by reducing the 20-year retiree's benefit to 40% of his or her base pay rather than the 50% that they currently do. And then, as you know, for every 2 years of service past 20, that retirement benefit goes up by 2.5%. They would reduce it to 2%. Which would result in about a 20% cut in the benefit to those who would retire at 20 years. We think that that's an incentive to leave the service early rather than stay on as an experienced leader in the armed forces.
What else did you see in this report? Were there some things in here that you thought were just non-starters that are really difficult for you to swallow, General?
I think that's probably the one. You know, our basic concern is the retention of the all-volunteer force. And having spent, 8 of my 33 years in the Marine Corps in recruiting and in manpower, that's a very sensitive issue. How do you encourage people to stay on beyond 20? You know, you're talking about the senior sergeants and the senior officer leaders who provide the leadership for the force, for this magnificent all-volunteer force we have out there. It's a very touchy issue when you start playing with their benefits. So you need to understand what's going to happen or what's potentially going to happen to retention if you do that. And so our concern is essentially what I just said, is that we not pay for the TSP program, as an example, on the backs of those who stick around for and might stick around for a longer period of time, and that we don't incentivize leaving the service rather than staying with the service.
Jack Klimps, president of the National Association for Uniformed Services, and looking at the recommendations of the Military Comp Commission. I'm struck, I have to say, by the overall response, the reaction to this from you and your colleagues in the military advocacy community, because I think a lot of folks expected that the reaction would be, well, this is a non-starter from the word go because it changes what's there. And I think you and your colleagues have surprised a lot of folks with the open-mindedness that you're taking toward this, especially considering the Comp Commission said at the very beginning, if I recall correctly, that they thought that grandfathering was a very important provision, and that's something that they wanted to reinforce from the start.
Well, and there are, you know, besides retirement, there are a number of other recommendations they make about other benefits, if you will, that service people currently receive, and how those benefits ought to be continued or changed into the future. And many of those we support. You know, there are educational benefits that they recommendations that they make that we are, I think, very comfortable with. There are others as well. You know, as I said, our concern is the quality and the retention of the all-volunteer force out there and the impact that any of these proposed changes might have on that. And it's a very sensitive thing. You know, we tried back in, I think it was in the 80s, a different retirement system called Redux. And it was designed to kind of do some of the things that they're talking about doing right now. And it had such a catastrophic impact on retention of senior sergeants and senior officers that the chiefs had to go back and request Congress to revoke it, if you will. So, I mean, when you're talking about benefits to incentivize staying in the service to 20 years or beyond, you have to really, really be careful and really, really understand what the impact of those changes might be on retention of the leadership that you need for this tremendous, you know, all-volunteer force we've got out there.
Another element that I think people were anticipating that it doesn't sound like has developed is the fear that there might be kind of a two-tiered system. There were folks that have talked about that in terms of the civilian workforce with some of the provisions that have been passed in the last couple of years about how incoming federal employees would have to contribute more to their pensions or contribute more to their health care premiums and those kinds of things. And there was a fear that would create some kind of jealousy or the perception, at least, that there's different groups of federal employees with different preferences and so on. That hasn't really materialized, and maybe that's what's carried over to this discussion about military pay and benefits.
You know, there could be some of that, I think. You know, a soldier or a Marine or sailor who enlists the day that these benefits or new proposals might go into effect, obviously, I think, would look at the guy who enlisted the day before and say, why does he get these and I don't, kind of thing. So I think there might be some of that there. But again, you know, I think, you know, anything that could potentially impact upon retention of senior leaders in the armed forces needs to be looked at very carefully. You know, this plan or proposal doesn't address is the thing that's driving all of this, and it's the insanity of sequestration. You know, the servicers are scrambling, trying to maintain a credible force out there, and we end up, as you see in this commission, although they say they're not trying to save money, but as you see in the commission's report and in the administration's budget request for at least the last 2 years, is an attempt by the department to pay for readiness on the backs of those who have served and are serving. And we think that is improper. We think Congress needs to act to revoke sequestration. You know, that's the Department of Defense, which is 15% of the government's budget, is taking 50% of these cuts. And that's just insanity in this crazy world that we've got out there right now.
Are you encouraged that there are so many people in Congress from all different political persuasions and all different points of influence on the Hill that are saying the same thing that you just said, General?
Encouraged to a degree, but you know, when this thing was passed, or when it was being considered, you know, the initial comment was, well, it'll never be passed, and then it was, and then the comments were, well, it'll be revoked, and it will never go into effect. Well, it has gone into effect, and the services are responding to that. And once you start down that trail, it's really, really difficult to turn around and go back the other way. You know, we saw that coming out of Vietnam. We created, in essence, a hollow force that had tremendous problems with the quality of the recruits that we were getting, the quality of the equipment, the quality of the training, and we could be headed in that direction again. It took us over 20 years to essentially rebuild the United States military to this magnificent force that's been out there fighting for us for, what, 13 years now, 14 years?
And that's where I wanted to wrap up, General, is do you see anything in either the Comp Commission's report or in any of the other actions that Congress or the Pentagon is taking that will have an impact that we'll look back on 10, 15, 20 years from now and say, boy, that was a big mistake?
You know, I think a number of these proposals, especially the ones in the budget request for the last 2 years, could have that impact. You know, they have reduced the pay of now they'll say they haven't reduced the pay, but they, you know, the military pay should have been increased by 1.8% by law this year, and instead it was 1%. So that's a pay cut. They are now required, service members who are living in government housing, for the first time that I'm aware of, are required to pay a percentage of their housing costs out of their own pocket, where BAH, the Basic Allowance for Housing, paid for the whole cost in the past. All of those constitute, in essence, a pay cut. They've reduced the stipend, or proposed to reduce the stipend to the commissaries. That impacts young enlisted members with their families, kind of thing. That constitutes another pay cut for them. So we have concern about a lot of these issues as we go forward, and the incentives or disincentives they create to maintain, you know, the all-volunteer force we've got out there.